Eleanor, your history with Ted begins in the 1930s in Argo, Illinois, which is a few miles from the old Comiskey Park when you were both kids.
We were in grade school together and high school together. We started dating in our junior year. We were married in 1946, and his parents died in 44, and mine died in 47. So they didn't really get to see his career at all. But we maintained he had brothers and sisters and my side of the family, so they really enjoyed his career, lived a good life with watching him become a good ball player.
You were also an athlete, and your husband credited you with helping his major league career?
I just bought him a 16-millimeter camera, the Christmas 47, and just took it, obviously, down to spring training and sat in the stands and just took pictures, as you knew when it was something new. And then we just spotted the fact that when he was having a bad day or a couple of bad days, we just ran the film, and that's how it started. I could see little things that he was doing wrong, so it worked out to his advantage. I still have the film. I don't know what condition it's in, but I still have it.
Now, when did you get married to Ted, and when did you two move to Cincinnati?
February of 1946. And then he went down to spring training. We decided to make Cincinnati our home in 1948. So off and on, we've been here since 1946. But then 46 and 47, we went home back to Argo, Illinois. We had about three families in one house, and that didn't work out too much. So we just decided that we liked Cincinnati and hoped that it would work out for us. So we decided to make Cincinnati our home.
Now, professional baseball was different back in the 50s, for sure.
Oh, by far.
Did you socialize with the other baseball players and their families?
Oh, yeah. We had picnics and get-togethers, and the wives got together when the fellas were on the road. The usual baby showers and shopping. And we built our own swimming pool, and we got a lot of help from some of the ball players. They pitched in and helped us dig out some dirt and shape out the pool. Well, we did have our trainer back in the 40s. Not the trainers that they have now, the really professionals, and that's good, too. But he was the trainer then, Doc Anderson. And he came out to help Ted one day shape up some trees, and he was sitting on the limb and cut off the limb that he was sitting on and fell in our creek. And then, well, actually, the same gentleman, Doc Anderson, when we put an addition to our house, we had an outdoor and indoor fireplace for cooking. And he said, well, I'm going home now. And he opened the door and stepped in the hole where they hadn't finished putting in the foundation for the fireplace. So he was a character. And the ladies, we had a bowling team, so I was a bowler. Yes, we had a lot of fun. I used to go down at the airport or train station. That's what they did, travel by train when Ted was playing. And 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm sure the wives don't do that now. They probably have somebody pick them up, or they have the cars parked there or whatever. It's different.
What was the neighborhood that you lived in?
We bought our house. It's down below Kennedy Heights and Pleasant Ridge in that area. Actually, we were in the county. We were not actually in the city. We were in the county, but right up off of the Red Bank area in there.
Who were some of your friends among those players and their wives?
Well, actually, I still have a close relationship. I talk to her at least two or three times a month, Mrs. McMillan, Roy McMillan's wife, Joyce Bell. I don't see Donzetta that much because she lives out in Fairfield. We don't get together that often. So those three, yeah, and Mrs. Wehmeyer, but she's since died. But we took trips together, got together, giggled like high school girls, college kids, sat on the bed and giggled. It was fun.
Did you go to all his games at Crosley Field?
I kept score, minor league, and the doubleheaders that they don't play now at Crosley Field.
Where did you usually sit?
Behind home plate.
Did you attend many of the games when he was coaching with the Big Red Machine at Riverfront?
No, not that many. But I would have to take him down and come back and go down again, so I saw a fair share. But when it got to be really exciting, I really went. When it got close to where we knew we were going to probably be in the World Series.
Any memorable games that you saw?
All the games that I saw when he was playing, to me, were memorable because he had a nice career. The Big Red Machine, of course, that was exciting. And the winning in the World Series back-to-back, that was very exciting, too. But nothing really stands out in my mind, really, as far as any one particular game, except the World Series that he played in, that he finally got to play with the White Sox in 1959. That was really exciting. I didn't miss any of those games. I saw all those.
Well, I understand he had a really good series for him.
Yes, he had a good series. For a couple of days, they even named a street after him in Chicago. I don't think it's there now, but during the series, they did.
Tell us about that. He had an oversized commemorative bat that he posed with for opening day 1955. Do you still have that bat?
Yes. It's downstairs in his kind of trophy room that he built downstairs. It was a humongous bat, but, oh, I can't put dimensions on it, but it was at least triple, maybe more than what a normal bat would be, and it was on a big plaque. It was very nice. It was given to him by the ballplayers of yesterday. That organization isn't around anymore. I did sell little bits of stuff because I didn't, what was I going to do with all of it? So I did start selling some of it, but the major stuff I've kept, the bats and the home run balls and things like that. We played in Columbia, South Carolina, his first year in the minors, and then 47 in Memphis. And that was interesting because they ran an article in the paper that he couldn't catch a bear in a telephone booth. Kind of crude. I was not a happy camper. I learned in a hurry, though, you don't talk back. You keep your mouth shut. Fortunately, he had a nice career and didn't get booed, so that was the nice part of it. But it's kind of hard when they're saying something nasty about your husband and you're sitting there. But I did learn. I didn't want to be called a bag of worms too many times.
Now, he cut the sleeves from his jerseys because he had such big arms. What about his everyday clothes? How did you deal with that? Did he have to have custom-made suits or clothing made?
He could pretty well wear shirts, but the pants and the jackets had to be tailor-made. But you know that back in the 50s, they wore those heavy flannel uniforms, and he couldn't move his arms, especially when they got wet. So he just one day just cut them off, and they told him, you can't do that. But he did, so that's how they started with the sleeveless stuff. Of course, now they have the knits, which is neat, which is far more comfortable. I don't know how they managed to play back then with those heavy, wet flannel uniforms on, but they did. So it's just a different era that they're in now, and for the better. They have batting gloves, sliding gloves, the helmets, and the helmets are a good thing for sure. I just still can't get used to that strike zone that they have nowadays, though. It's so different than when Ted was playing. Sometimes I think they're calling a strike when it's by their toes, for heaven's sakes. It looks like that to me. So, but that's the new way they play.
Do you think Ted would have a strong opinion about the way the game is played today and about the players of today?
No, he was not one to speak out about things. He just went along with it. I guess if you pinned him down, he would answer you, but I think the players keep themselves in better condition than back when they did in the 50s. I mean, they work out now and they stay in shape during the winter. Overall, most of them do. And I think that's a definite advantage, where I think the players in Ted's era, they didn't do that. You have to understand they weren't making the kind of money that these players are making. Ted's first contract was a major league contract. It was $6,000 a year. And then he was playing minor league ball, but he was signed to a major league contract, and that's what major league base salary was then, $6,000 a year.
You were speaking about conditioning. As I understand it, Ted never really lifted weights, so he had a great physique. How did he keep himself so fit?
He came from a big family. For a while, he worked in a factory at home lifting bags, but I don't think that really had that much influence on it. He was just big. His younger brother was even an inch taller than Ted, and they were husky people, not obese or fat. His mother was probably 5'8", 9'10", big person. I didn't get to meet his father. His father was ill at the time, so I didn't get to meet him, but I think that's what it involved from, just from the stature of the rest of the family.
What about his diet? What kinds of things did he eat at
home? Anything that was in front of him. He was a big eater. I mean, that guy, when we got out, he would try everything. And I'm thinking, how did you even know to eat this stuff? Because he came from a very poor family. And sometimes a sandwich was a mayonnaise sandwich. That was his dinner. And then all of a sudden, he's eating snails and steaks. And I was trying Mexican food, Chinese food. And I think, where'd that come from? I didn't know that. So it was interesting how it evolved into a nice, comfortable life.
Ted was popular, I take it, with the female fans. How did he handle the adoration from them?
Contrary to what everybody thinks, he really was very shy around women. But, yeah, he liked it like anybody else would. It was teenagers, but then you have that with everybody. I mean, the Owls now, I'm sure the ballplayers still have their following, more so probably than back in the 50s. I mean, he'd talk to them and sign autographs, but he wasn't very comfortable about having all the ladies around him.
Did you attend any of the fan picnics in the parks that were held around Cincinnati during the 1950s?
We used to go up to La Swordsville on, like, the All-Star break. Well, of course, Ted played in some All-Star games, but, yeah, we would have family picnics. We'd cook and have a big blast out there.
What did you and Ted do during the off-season?
Really, not very much. It didn't seem like he had a lot of time. I mean, you know, from October and then turned around, and in February we were heading for spring training. So Ted liked to do arts and crafts, building things, building ships. He was big with guns. He had quite a gun collection, and he would go out and practice shooting on the range. He always had a project going. Was a big, knew-how-to-fix-everything person. So he just kept busy doing things like that. Built the rec room downstairs. He finished that off all by himself down in our basement.
I understand bowling was something you guys liked to do. Crossword puzzles was something else that you...
Well, I was the bowler, and then we had a husband and wife team. He wasn't that much of a bowler. I mean, he bowled, but it wasn't one that he liked that much. And puzzles, I finally got him started on crossword puzzles, and finally got him started on bridge, too. And then I know how silly that's going to sound. The ball players and their wives are going to... But we used to play charades when we had get-togethers. The guys against the girls, and the wives always beat the guys. Because we were the ones that went to the movies, pretty much. We would always pick movies, and we always beat them at charades. So we had fun.
Now, I heard a story that one of his gloves is in Cooperstown, and that's because of something that you did.
I snuck it out of his trunk and had it bronzed. And then Danny Littweiler knew a lot of the personnel up at Hall of Fame, and he was going up there for some reason. I've forgotten what it was. And so he took it up. I have no idea when they display it, but, you know, I donated it up there. I thought at least that part of him will be in the Hall of Fame, even if the rest of his records aren't, but at least the glove will be. So turned out really nice.
So Ted's not in the Hall of Fame, but the glove is.
Yeah, well, the one thing that bothers me is I know he was a good hitter, but nobody remembers or recognizes that he set a major league record for fielding first baseman. And then I'd like to meet that gentleman down in Memphis that said he couldn't catch a bear in a telephone booth and tell him that he'd set a major league record, not a National League, but a major league record for fielding first baseman. They never talk about that. It's one record he's very proud of. He worked hard to become a good first baseman because he was naturally an outfielder, and then they converted him to playing first base.
The back injury he suffered in 1956 that had a really great impact on his career, did he get a lot of support from doctors and from his teammates about his injury?
I know the club was behind him. They sent him up to the Leahy Clinic in Massachusetts to get a final opinion on what should be done. And the doctors up there told him that a surgery would help, but they couldn't guarantee that he would ever have the mobility. You need your mobility when you're a hitter or a baseball player. So he chose not to. So he just played with a bad back. There are good days and bad days. Some days I had to tie his shoelaces. He couldn't bend over to tie his shoelaces.
How did he get that back injury?
We don't know. Just I think he might have been born with a bad back, and it just showed up. But he played a lot of sports. He was big in sports in high school, played basketball, football. So it could have been an injury from then that when you're young, you just pass it over and you don't think too much of it.
Were there any other injuries that Ted suffered during his career?
No. And that was the killer, though. That restricts your swings. You can't hardly play when you have a bad back. I don't know that he could have played too much longer than he did, because he was a big man. A smaller stature player could probably play longer. Pitchers play longer because they don't play every day. But I think his size probably worked against him.
There are pictures on the internet of Ted with various Hollywood movie stars. And what was that side of his life like?
Oh, that was fun. If we were out in Hollywood, we got to go on the set with Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis. That was fun. Then he was on a television show. There are two television shows. One was Masquerade, and the other one was What's My Line? He was on that. He rubbed elbows with presidents. Who would have thought back in 1946 when we were married we'd ever rub elbows with presidents or a president? So, yes, Ted Williams, we got to know, not Ted Williams, but Musial and Dodgers. We had them as guests in our house.
He was part owner of a restaurant, Jack and Clue, I think was the name of it.
Right.
Yeah. Tell us about that restaurant.
They used his name, and of course he went down in the evening and just wander around and talk to people, signed autographs, basically is what he did. And then on Saturdays, he got a big kick out of going down and helping cut steaks. That was something he really enjoyed. So, but otherwise, it was just more of a being a greeter. And since his name was attached to the restaurant, he had to be there and circulate around. So he enjoyed it. It gave him something to do in the wintertime, basically.
Jack was the name of the other person?
Jack Stahan. He was the original owner, started the steakhouse, and then asked Ted if he wanted to join him. So Ted said, yeah, sure, why not?
And how long was it in existence?
I think we finally got out, actually, when we moved into the condo in 76, probably. We must have started in the 60s, probably, late 60s. But he wasn't around that much because once he got back into baseball, you know, he was pretty much tied up with baseball. So he did make some appearances. But I think our final year got out from under when we moved into our condo.
Tell us about the day his jersey number was retired. I believe that was 1998.
Mrs. Schott was so good about that. She gave us seats in her private box. And then I think we had a total of well over 20, pushing 30 people that came in. So it was fun. It was a fun weekend. It was very nice. And the statue was, that so took me by surprise. When I saw that in the paper, I thought I had read it incorrectly. But yeah, those two stand up.
And have you been to the Reds Hall of Fame?
Oh, sure. Many times.
What are some of your favorite items there about your husband?
Well, I saved a uniform that I donated to when Mrs. Schott, when they were starting to work on the museum, I told her, I said, I had, when it's finished, I kept a uniform, so it's there someplace. I haven't been up recently, but I like that big wall, and then, of course, they have that big cinematography or whatever wall with the players all that are all in the Hall of Fame. I think that's a neat idea. And then, of course, they have the replica of the plaques that they get when they're in the Hall of Fame. So I think we have a marvelous museum. I think they've done an excellent job with it. And I like that reproduction of the games when you go in and see that little movie clip. I think that's a neat idea, too. And, of course, Pete Rose with all his roses. Rose Garden, I guess they call it. Yeah, it's neat. They did a really good job with it.
What's your favorite memory of Ted?
Very likable. Took a lot to get him angry. He had a very calm personality. So he was easy to live with. I think I remember that more than anything else. And that he really made something of himself. And I know that sounds like a knock on his brothers, but his brothers didn't. When he had the opportunity, he took it and ran with it and made something of himself. So I'm very proud of that. Very rarely got upset about anything, even as he got older.
What do you think his legacy is?
That he was a gentle giant, frankly. I think that's the best legacy you can give somebody. I don't want to use the word nonviolent, but just an easygoing person to get along with. I don't think he had any trouble with his teammates. A personality onto yourself, and you have made a name for yourself, it's hard to not have that come through when you're sitting on the bench. But he got along with everybody as far as my knowledge was concerned. So I think that's a good legacy to have. Except maybe Hornsby, the manager. I can remember he slid into home plate one time and he had blood coming out of his nose and Hornsby came up to him and he said, do you think you can still play? And he's laying there with blood coming out of his nose and Ted said, well, I guess so. He was quite a character, Hornsby was, the manager. He never said hello to me the whole time he was a manager. Just walked right by us, the wives. I guess we weren't supposed to be there. I don't know.
It sounds like your husband was an exceptional man.
Well, I'm prejudiced, but yes, I think he was. I don't know too many people that had anything bad to say about him, and I think that's a nice tribute to him.
Did you like to travel a lot together?
I liked to travel, but when Ted got out of baseball, he had had enough of traveling, I couldn't get him out of the house. I didn't make all the trips, you know, when he was playing, but I made some of the trips. We had to pay for me when I was on the road. I don't know what they do now, but I had to pay for my part of the room and parking and stuff like that, plane fare to get me there. They took money out of Ted's World Series check. When we flew to California, they took it out, the plane fare out of there. Now, when the Reds played in 75 and 76, the World Series, they were really nice. They paid for everything. That was really first class. But not the White Sox. They took the plane fare out of the World Series check. But traveling by train, that was not Ted's favorite. He didn't fit in the bunks, for one thing. I do remember up in Oakley, took him to the train station, and he and, I want to say it was Derringer and a couple of other ball players. And I saw him get on the train, and I started to pull away, and the train pulled down, and there was Ted and the ballplayer still standing. They had gotten on the wrong train. They were supposed to be heading east, and they got on a train that was going west, and the conductor found it out in time. So they were still standing there, and I went over, and I said, "What's wrong?" And he said, "We got on the wrong train." So there's a lot of good stories, a lot of good memories.
Sounds like it was an interesting life you had with him.
Very. Still is. I still benefit from being his wife. I really do. Opens a lot of doors for me, and I appreciate that. Almost every day I benefit from being Mrs. Klazuski. Very proud of it. Wouldn't have had it any other way.
Do you get any fan mail still?
No, not anymore. An occasional letter that's just asking for money addressed to Ted, which I think is, with this magic computer, the age, don't they know that he's been dead 24 years, for heaven's sakes? It fell off, pretty much. I think it was probably, it took a year for it to get into the system, because they print all those baseball books out and they designate who's alive and who's dead. So I don't think the kids nowadays even know, other than when they see a statue down maybe at the ballpark. They seem to talk about the Big Red Machine and the Wire to Wire, which was an exciting, that was my first trip overseas in 1990. I was going nuts trying to go from kiosk to kiosk, trying to find out whether they were still wire to wire or they're still in first place. That was an exciting year. That's what they talk about now, and that's as it should be. But I think they could still talk about the 50s. We didn't win any pennants. I think pitching was our bugaboo. We had hitters. We had hitters that, without steroids, were hitting 40 home runs, 35 home runs. Tied a record, rather, for a team hitting 221 home runs. So we had a lot of players that were hitting Gus Bell, Wally Post, all hitting 40 home runs and better. They don't talk about that. That's my complaint. I keep trying to push them to say something, but we had good games. We had good teams. When you're having that many fellas that are hitting home runs, 40 home runs, we should have been up there. And we weren't.
A lot of players have these little rituals they do. Was Ted like that?
Yes, if he was on a hitting streak, I was not allowed to wash his clothes. I couldn't even sneak it. He made sure that whatever he was wearing when it started, it's what he wore until he went hitless. There was an ongoing battle. And it was working for him, so who am I to say differently? Everybody had their little quirks back then. I think you see some of the players still do that.
In particular on the team, who were some of his best friends that he played with?
Roy McMillan, Gus Bell, and I think he used to at one time room with Johnny Temple. We didn't seem to hit it off as we did with the, for some reason, with McMillan and Gus Bell. And as I say, I'm still very close with them. But no, not beyond that. We just all got along, but I think when he was on the road, probably he would be with McMillan or Gus Bell, and the trainer, and for some reason, and Bernie Stowe. Bernie Stowe was just a bat boy when Ted started, and look, he's still going strong, or his children are, his boys are, as that's really nice. I'm glad they're a nice tradition for them, and Bernie is, he was a friend, so he came over to the house a lot of times, too. He was helping Ted.
Do you have any favorite restaurants that you ate at with Ted?
Houston Restaurant. The one that's on the way to Lebanon, over there on Reading Road or 42. We eat there pretty much. And then we went across the river because, you know, they didn't serve liquor here on Sunday when Ted was playing ball. So we went over to the Olsner's family restaurant almost every Sunday. And then they would sneak us drinks in the coffee mugs because they weren't supposed to serve liquor either, but they would serve us drinks. And then now we're all going to get arrested. I'll probably end up going to jail now because I said that. Those people were pretty much almost every Sunday. And then Mecklenburg's. Almost after every night game, we would go up and have the big hamburgers at Mecklenburg's. Those three places pretty much we stayed with. And then special occasions, we treated ourselves to the Maisonette. We did our 25th wedding anniversary up there in the Maisonette. We rented the room upstairs and had lots of friends in. Well, in Beverly Hills, I forgot about Beverly Hills. Actually, the week before that big fire, we were in that room where the fire started. There was a wedding reception from one of the ballplayers, Freddie Norman. And then the next week, I'm wondering if that fire was simmering in there when we were in that room. He ate out so much on the road, so that he kind of just wanted to eat at home. And so we kind of had a running battle all the time. I was always home. When he got home, I wanted to go out, and he didn't.
How many years were you married?
42 when he died. It was a good ride. Still is, as I say. I still have people remember Ted, which kind of surprises me because he's been dead 24 years and played in the 50s. But it's nice when people still remember, pick up on his name. It makes my day for me.
Thank you, Eleanor.
Oh, you're more than welcome. I enjoyed it.